Reading in the 7th chapter of the book of Proverbs, if you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. I'd like for you to pray for us. Pray for our home, our children. David came yesterday and up to the church and prayed that God would forgive him of his sins, and he's quit smoking, and he says he wants to turn around. Needs a little encouragement, help, and strength. A person's been trying to live for God and then they dropped back. It's like a person got sick and had to go to the hospital, come nine to dying, and they've been nursed back to health enough to get out of the hospital, and now looking for a little aid and a help and a little strength that they might be able to make it. So many times we fail to give them the needed strength. Now, it is my way and my conviction that if a person does not try to live for God, that they should be reproved continually. You should never take the brand of fire away from them. Keep the brand to them all the time. Day and night, let them feel the heat of the flames of hell. But if they really turn around and repent of their sins and ask forgiveness, though they might stagger and stumble and might not be able to perform as you do, remember that you're not looking at the outer man. There's a little tiny life that's just come into view on the inside. And that you're working with that little tiny Christ until he can get enough strength to possess the reins of that outer man to change the rudeness of that which you're looking at. So then let's look beyond the veil and see the need. If a person is not trying to serve God and they're walking in a froward way, then beyond the veil there is a devil. And that devil, you must put the firebrand to all the time. Doesn't matter how close they are to you, friend, a neighbor, or whatever, you've got to. The Bible said if you spare any of them, they'll pull you down to hell. There'll be pricks in your side and cause you to lose your salvation if you spare any of them. So you can't spare them. Reading from the first verse, or seventh chapter of the first verse of the book of Proverbs, it says, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, and I discerned among the youths a young man, void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. And he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face. And I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed and myrrh, alloys, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us so lace ourselves with loves. For the goodman is not at home. He has gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strikes through his liver as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth, and let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her hurt. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth on the top of high places, by the way in the places of the pass. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to him that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way. And the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. And he set a compass upon the face of the depth. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree, that waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the fountains of the earth, then I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable parts of his earth. And my delight were with the sons of men. Therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish, and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth the scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh the wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house, on a seat in the high places of the city, to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. I notice in the writings of Solomon, in the Proverbs, one of the things that God points out is that wisdom, with wisdom, there is honor. And with wisdom, there is riches. And the Bible speaks of it like this, that with wisdom, there is durable riches. Did you notice that? With wisdom, there is durable riches. You don't have any durable riches unless you have wisdom. Now, you might have riches. You might have riches, but you don't have durable riches. It takes wisdom to have what the Bible refers to as durable riches, or that is riches that you're not going to lose. You don't have any riches in this world that you're going to keep unless you have the wisdom of God. The Bible teaches the foolish man in his substance is soon parted. Then we're told here that by wisdom, the man that has wisdom, that he shall be given substance. For God shall bring him substance. That is, if he has wisdom, that he's going to inherit automobiles, he's going to inherit homes, he's going to inherit land, he's going to inherit money, he's going to inherit substance, because by wisdom, God is going to give him substance. And not only will God give him substance, but the Bible said by wisdom he shall inherit durable substance or durable riches, which means riches that shall never be taken away from him. Not only will he be rich in this world, in that the Bible teaches that the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Not only will he be rich in this world, but his riches will extend until They will endure until he crosses over the boundaries of time, and in the world to come, he will have great, durable, enduring substance in the other world. So then, to get wisdom is the chief thing. To get understanding, to call it thy sister and to call it thy kinswoman is the thing that the Bible tells us to do. To refer to wisdom as being the great thing that we need. Understanding and wisdom means riches and wealth. You understand what I'm saying? It means riches and wealth when you have understanding and wisdom. Durable riches and wealth that's far beyond the wildest imagination or dream. So then the chief thing is to get wisdom, and the chief thing is to understand. In the day that we're living in, the one thing that I find that's missing in the earth today is wisdom. I hear great orators, I hear men like Jimmy Carter, the president, I hear great statesmen, I've sat in on some of the sessions of Washington and listened to them, and I've heard doctors and lawyers and I've heard all kind of people, judges, but the one thing that I see missing in their life is wisdom. I find out that God has made them like the ostrich, and that they are void of wisdom. They are like the ostrich. When trouble comes, they run and they hide their heads in the sand. Isn't that right? You take an ostrich, the Bible says that God has robbed her of understanding. She lays her eggs in the sand, and somebody comes along and steps on them and crushes the eggs. When trouble comes, she does not make any effort to get out of the way of it. She just runs and hides her head as if to say everything's all right because I can't see it. God made an ostrich that he might show the ignorance of those that do not serve God and those that do not believe in the Christ of heaven. Not too long ago, Betty and I went through a place here in Atlanta. I'm sure that some of you have been through there. It's an animal domain to where they have ostriches. And in driving through, the ostrich will get in the front of the car And it acts like it has no understanding whatsoever. It makes no effort to get out of the way. It has no understanding, no sense of direction. It's just wherever it's at, and it just moves along wherever it just wobbles to. The ostrich. And people of today remind me of the ostrich. God looks on them as he does the ostrich. Why does God do that? Because people of today are like the ostrich. They know that the world's about to be blown up. They know that things are going wrong. Many people are not paying their bills. They're not living upright. They're not trying to get away from the evils of the world. They just take a little dope and take a little whiskey and get on a frolic, go down to the beach, get them a motor home and ride off or do something like the silly ostrich that knows the destruction is coming and yet hides their head as if to say, if I don't see it, everything is all right. Foolish people. But let me tell you something, folks. If tonight somebody was going to burn my home to the ground, I'd want to know when and where, what time, and want to know what I could do about it. If somebody tonight was going to try to kill me and my family, I'd want to know when, where, who, and how it was coming about to where I could do something about it. Because I wouldn't want to be like the foolish ostrich that would go and hide my face from the evil and think that everything was going to be all right. People who owe bills, people who make bills, people who have indebtedness that will not stand up and face the situation and realize that they've got obligations to pay and make some way or effort to pay the bills are like a foolish ostrich. They're like foolish ostriches. They know that they made the bill. They know they owe the bill. They know that the bill's coming due. And as a consequence of that, they're going to wind up behind bars or something bad's going to happen or somebody's going to come and try to kill them. As it was the man last night. Man came in here last night, told me that somebody's going to kill him over $20. I gave him the $20 to keep somebody from killing him. He said, the man's not playing. Said he put a gun to my head and was going to blow my brains out. Over $20. But see, we know we owe the bills. We know that we've made the indebtedness. We know that we borrowed the other man's money. And we trust the luck that everything will work out. And we stick our head in the sand like the silly ostrich does. But folks, let's don't be like that at Bethlehem. Let's stand up for God and let's not be like the silly ostrich. But let's realize that we've got a responsibility to Christ. And let's do something about it. Let's turn away from the foolishness of the world. And let's be a man of wisdom and a man of understanding. And a woman of wisdom and a woman of understanding. And do something to help the cause of Christ. It's like the Bible speaks of a woman that was very wise. A woman was in a city. And the enemy came in to destroy the city. But the woman was very wise. When the rest of them could do nothing, the woman crawled upon the wall and dropped something on their head. She was very wise. She knew how to win the battle when the silly men didn't know how to win the battle. You know, the Bible speaks of silly women. Now, I know that in this world there are some silly women. Some of the most silly things I have ever met in my life is a silly woman. And we've got some silly girls and silly women in the world. We've got some silly women around down here at Little Bethlehem. But did you know the silly women of today, those silly women represent the silly people, the menfolk that are women in the sight of God, who is like the ostrich that wants to hide their head in the sand and not be a man and face responsibility. What is worse than a silly woman in the sight of God? The Bible speaks of the silly women, one as being a delicate woman that will not step out, dare to set her foot upon the soil. She is so delicate that she will not do anything. She will not do anything. She could never be God's Cinderella because she won't do anything. She's like the silly sisters of the story of Cinderella. Like the silly ostrich. The Bible calls him the silly ostrich that will stick his head in the sand when he knows that trouble is coming. A lot of people at Bethlehem are like the silly ostrich. They will not stand for rules. They will not stand for regulations. They will not stand with God. They will not stand in the sacrifice. They will not stand in effort. They will take an office and they will be like the silly ostrich. They will play games of having an office and having a position like the silly ostrich. They will come to church and they will play religion and be a hypocrite like the silly ostrich. Knowing that the destruction is coming, knowing that the judgments of God's coming, knowing that the troubles of this world are upon us, and that any time God will blow this whole world up, knowing that he'll destroy the entire thing. But like the silly ostrich, they continue to play religion and go on the way they're going. Now, I believe that we ought to pray. I believe that we ought to fast. I believe that we ought to study. I believe that we ought to meditate in the laws of God day and night. I believe that we ought to try to escape the things that's coming on this earth. I believe that we ought to snap to attention and say, God, I'm a Christian. I'm not a hypocrite. I'm not a make-believe. I'm not a playboy. I am a Christian. And God, I want to do something for the cause of Christ. I want to do something for humanity. I want to get in here, and if there's anything that I can do to the church, I want to do it. If there's anything I can do to the campground, I want to do it. If there's not anything that I can do here, then maybe there's something over the hill somewhere I can do. Not be some silly person that always wants to ramble and ride and go somewhere and never get down to business with God. Don't be that way. Don't be here among us and say, well, I'm not received and I can't do anything and they don't want me, and get in a silly, melancholy self-spirit. Don't do that. And then want to wander off and leave everybody blaming everybody when you know that you're to blame. But get in here and be a man. If somebody rebukes you, look it up in the book and see if that's what the Bible said. Go to your heart and catalog the thing and say, Lord, am I really guilty? If I am, praise God for a brother that's got a backbone that's helping me to escape the flames of hell. And if you're not guilty, be bold as a lion and look right back at him and say, brother, God bless you, I love you, but you're wrong. You're the one that needs help, not me. That way, you can do something for God. Do something for the Lord. Stand up. There are so many things that need to be done for God, folks. I don't want to be like the ostrich. I don't want to hide my face. I don't want to be like the hireling that fleeth when the wolf cometh. I don't want to stick my head down and say, too many bills, too many of this, I can't pay it, I can't do it, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't want to do that. You say, well, Brother Pike, what do you want to do? I want to do like the eagle and spread my wings like that. And when the storm clouds come, say, God, I'll use this for a stepping stone and sail right up above those clouds. I want to get up there in the heavenlies where everything's quiet and peaceful. And get up there, spread out my wings in God, and go up there and do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I want to do. Now, I want to be a person that can face responsibility. I want to be a person that can face natural responsibility, and a person that can face spiritual responsibility. And I want to stand up for God like a man, and I want to be the right kind of person. I want to deny the very appearance of evil. I want to shun the very thoughts of evil in my mind, in my spirit, in my thoughts. I want to completely get away from those kind of things. I want to be clean. I don't want to be hypocritical. I don't want to try to prove to Brother Frank Taylor and Brother Gonzalez that I'm a clean man. I don't want to try to do that. I want to be a clean man. I think it's foolish to try to prove to somebody that you're clean. We're not trying to prove to anybody anything. If I am clean, people can tell it. If I don't take a bath, they can smell me. So then, I want to be holy. I want to be clean. I want to be pure down to the intents of my heart. Not to prove to somebody that I can be clean, but because I find favor with God and I find the love of God. I find the relationship that I feel and need with God when I stay clean in my heart. I find it. That is sweet, wonderful peace coming down from God up above. I feel that wonderful peace. I feel the joy and jubilance of heaven because I live clean and walk holy before God. I can feel the holy relationship of the Heavenly Father. I feel that I am His Son and I feel that He is my God. We walk together and we get along. Why? Because I seek the understanding and wisdom that comes from God. I don't seek the wisdom and understanding that comes from the world. I'm not looking for the wisdom and understanding that comes from the world. I am seeking the wisdom and understanding comes from God, because the wisdom and understanding of this world is foolishness to God. I'm not looking for that kind of thing. But what I am looking for is the knowledge of God, the understanding of God, the wisdom of God, that I can be like God and do the things that please God, walk upright before God and not be like the silly ostrich. So then, let's don't be a silly woman in the sight of God. Silly women, the Bible speaks of silly women, like the silly ostrich, silly women. They never have any happiness in their home because they're silly. They won't. Some women say, I'm not going to be a mother. I'm not going to spend my time bringing young'uns into the world. I'm going to have a career, you silly woman. I don't want to be a mother. I don't want the responsibility of home. I'm not going to clean house. I'm not going to watch after children. I'm not going to change baby diapers. I'm going to have a career. Some silly women, they say, we're not going to have more than two children. I'll get a boy and a girl, that'll be enough. Silly woman. Since when did God tell you how to decide how many you want and how many you don't want? When did God leave it up to you to do that? Jesus said, multiply and replenish the earth. Used to it was a great blessing for women to have great many children. Today it's a curse, seemingly among the women, if they have more than one or two. Now, when you're married, the Bible teaches the bed of the marriage undefiled in all its holy wedlock. You, young lady, are doing a service for the eternal God when you travail and bear children and bring them into this world. Having a decency about you, that is a labor to Christ, that is obedience to the Word. And by faith in the Word, God saves you. When He said, multiply, replenish the earth, that is faith in God. When you obey the Lord, and daddy, when you're willing to be a real man and stand up and work for Him and not bring 8 or 10 children into the world and then be a lazy bum going from here to there doing nothing. You are a real dad when you stand up and do the right thing. Pardon me for the word bum. That don't sound right. I don't hardly what you know what to call it. Jesus called it a pig. That sounds better. Now, but anyway, wandering here and there, doing nothing, that is, it won't face responsibilities. Little mothers that travail and bring children into the world and try to raise them the best way she can and feed them the best way she can. And half the time have to make a living and daddy's too lazy to do anything about it. Just drinking and dope and frolicking and staying out all night. God have mercy on your wretched soul. You know, the Bible teaches not to deal treacherously against the wife of your youth, for God hateth putting away. That's a treacherous thing. That's a mean, contrary thing. But let's be a real person in God. When you say silly women, there are silly women in the world today. A lot of silly women. But that doesn't mean all women are silly. There are some women that's like Mary. There are some women that's like Elizabeth. There are some women that's like Martha. There are some women that's diligent. Some women that work. There are some women like Esther that fast and pray. There are some great women in the world. Paul spoke of great women in the world. Now that if we are women to God, if God looks on us as a woman, I want to be a great woman, don't you? I want to be a great woman in the sight of God. I don't want to be a silly woman. I want to travail for Christ. I want to bear children. The Bible said when Zion travailed, sons and daughters was born into the kingdom of God. I don't want to be silly. I don't want to look for a career. I don't want to be something great and outstanding and get out here in the world and say, look at me. But I want to be a real wife to my heavenly husband, and I want to travail and bear children and gladly receive the word of Christ into my heart. Until Christ is born within my heart, I travail till Christ be formed within you, Paul said. And I want to do everything. I want my mind on my husband. I want to be his thoughts every day, and I want him to be my thoughts every moment. I want to meditate in his laws, in his desires, in his mind, in his way, day and night. I don't ever want to stop. When I wake up in the night, I want to praise Him and love Him because He's everything to me. He's everything I want. He's everything I ever dreamed of. Amen. And I want to think about him like that. And I know the thing that pleases him, the beginning of wisdom, is to fear God. I want to look to him. I don't want to think about being something great and something that's above him and something where I can say like some of the silly women of today, I have to make the living, I have to do that. It's me that did this and me that did that. I don't want to do that. A lot of women go out and work on a job, you know, and they say, I make my way, I've got my own car, I pay my own bills, I've got my bank account. I don't want to be a silly woman. I don't want to do that. I'm not looking for that. I want to say, Christ did it, Jesus did it, everything is Christ. I want to say, he's my hero, he's my strength, he's my joy, he's my gladness. He's everything that I want. Jesus is everything that I want. And I'm going to lift him up and magnify him, let the world see my wonderful husband. Hallelujah. And see the great master painter, as the song says, from the faraway hills. I want them to see him. I want them to know him. I want them to know that I'm married to him. Paul said, Christ speaking said, I am married unto you. I want them to know that I am married unto him. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I want them to know that I'm married to him, Gary. I'm married to him. I remember the night that he came, or the day that he came over in down in Florida, in Hialeah, Florida, took my hand and slipped the ring on my finger. I remember the time when he slipped the ring on my finger. God said, I'm married unto you. I am married unto you. And today God is married to me and I'm married to God. We're interwoven one with another. I don't want to betray him. I don't want to sidestep. I don't want to love my wife or my children or somebody else better than I do him. I want to be just exactly what he wants me to be in every way. I don't want to spend my time out yonder trying to make money and get gain and build houses and lands and whatever. I want to spend my strength for him. The Bible said, love him with all of your heart, all of your strength, all of your mind. I want to love him with all of my strength, all of my heart, all of my mind. That's what I want to do. I want to love Jesus that way. If I can love him with all of my strength, let all of my strength be to pray. Let all of my strength be to fast. Let all of my strength be to labor. If I work on a job, the labor that I might have to give to God. Not to win souls throughout the world. Let him be everything that I want. You love Jesus? It's like a song. The song that God has given me concerning Cinderella. You know, God's got a Cinderella. How do you know that? Remember the song, the sermon about Prince Charming and Little Glass Slipper? God has a Cinderella somewhere. Did you know that? There's a Cinderella in the world somewhere. And did you know that Cinderella, God is watching that Cinderella? God's Cinderella. And then there's the silly sister somewhere in the world. Did you know that? Clamorous. Always powdering paint. Always fixed up. Always got to go to the dances. Always got to go to the frolics. Always got to go to the movies. Always got to go somewhere. Never have time to scrub a floor, to wash a dish, or to be a real woman. But God's got an elect lady in the earth. There's something outside of silly women. There's what God refers to as an elect lady in the earth. Now, there is also a godmother. Did you know that? There's a godmother. There's a godmother in the earth that's watching God's Cinderella. She might be in rags. She might be doing the dishes. She might have the dishpan hands. But there's a godmother that is watching Cinderella. And that godmother is the church. She's got her eyes on Cinderella. She's watching Cinderella. When Zion, the church, travails, sons and daughters are born into the kingdom. And God has got his eyes on the Cinderella of the earth. The poor people, the Bible said, heard Christ gladly. The gospel was preached to all men, but the Bible, when it speaks of salvation, it said that salvation was sent unto the poor. God is watching the Cinderella in the earth, and God has a Cinderella somewhere, and God has a Prince Charming somewhere, and God's Prince Charming is looking for the Cinderella, and someday there's going to be a wedding. Revelation 19, when God's Prince Charming comes back on the white horse to gather the Cinderella of God, there's going to be a great supper. And God is going to take away the rags. Going to take away the rags. Did you know that? Hallelujah. God's got a spiritual magic wand. Did you know that? It's called the Word. That's right. And all that Godmother's got to do is just say, Cinderella, don't worry about the rags. Isn't that right? You come to church, you know, and the Bible teaches that we're nothing but filthy rags in the sight of God. Isn't that right? But when you come there and that magic wand of God is held out, you know what happens? All of a sudden the rags fall away as the anointing comes, and you're standing there like Jesus did on the Mount of Transfiguration, and the glory of God is beginning to shine out, and you're dressed in the beauties and ready for Elijah's fire chariot and the prancing horses that he saw. Isn't that right? Going to take a trip with Prince Charming over in the world to come. What a wonderful thing. But did you know something? According to the little story, if you go past the midnight cry, you're in trouble. Did you know that? You got to watch for the midnight cry. You got to be watching for the midnight cry. If you watch for the midnight cry, everything will be all right. You ever heard people call pumpkin heads? You got to watch for the midnight cry. You don't want to wind up a pumpkin head. Isn't that right? So then God has a way. God has a way, and something great is happening at this very time of life. The church of the living God is beginning to come forth. They're beginning to rise up in power and in strength, and the radiance and the magnificence of God is beginning to fill the earth. And the glory of God is beginning to shine about. And like Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Bible said his robe, his garments literally glisten because of the glory of God. Wouldn't you like to have a life like that? If we seek wisdom, if we seek understanding, if we follow after it with all of our heart, then we shall receive the durable riches. Then we shall find favor with God, and then we shall be caught up into God's wonderful arms for God's Son to take us to that great mansion that he said he prepared. I go away to prepare a place. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If I go, I'll come again for you. There's coming a day, and he's going to come for us if we're willing to go along with him. It's like the story we spoke of the woman out west and how the man came to get her as he promised her. He came in the springtime in his chariot to take her away to that great, great, beautiful home that he had promised her. All right, I want us to think that over tonight. I want to leave those thoughts with you, and I want you to think them over, because God is doing something great and outstanding. We need somebody with the dishpan hands around here. Amen. I hope that we've got somebody with the dishpan hands. I saw a man the other day, this man that's digging our septic tank out here. I've known him for quite a long time, since he was a boy. Always been a hard worker. Worked in the mill, worked his way up to overseer. But worked hard. And he's always worked hard. And the other day, I went to shake hands with him, and when I caught his hands, they were so callous. A young man. And I was amazed when I looked at the calluses and felt the calluses. And I thought about God's Cinderella and the woman with the dishpan hands. You know, folks, we need to do something. Did you know that? We need to do something. Don't try to be a pretty boy. Don't try to be a pretty girl. Try to be a lady, and try to be a real gentleman. A real man of God. Be an elect lady and be a real man of God, and forget about the frivolous things of this world. Take a place of responsibility and do something for God. Don't leave the house of God undone to have what you want in life, because the thing that you compromise to get, you're going to lose. There's one thing for sure. If you seek to gain the world, you're going to lose your soul. If you lose the world for Christ's sake, you're going to gain your soul and gain the world, and all of the universe is going to be yours. I want you to stand with me. Now, if there's any way that you can, I want you to come and help us. I want you to give your heart to God. I say this again, as I told somebody recently. Some of the ones that are on dope are always talking about, I've got to get my head straightened out. And I admit that dope does affect the brains and the nerves, and you get in bad shape up here and have hallucinations and all kind of things. But I told them this, and I tell you this tonight, it's not our head that we need straightened out. Jesus is our head, and he's all right. What we need is our heart straightened out. And if we get our heart right with God, it'll straighten our head out. We've got to get our hearts right with God, and God will take care of the head part. Now, the mother, as it has been said, is the heart. The father is the head. So let the heavenly Father be the head, and let us have a heart of faith and love, and be a mother to the children. And let the head be in control, and you'd be surprised what the heart can do to the head. Have you ever thought about it like that? You'd be surprised what a mother can do with a dad when she comes to him in love and tenderness and compassion and concern about his children and concerned about him and his way of life. That heart can just, the Bible said, command thou me concerning the works of my hand. The head can be commanded by the mother. The head can be taken into control by the heart if it's handled right. Did you know that? God gave himself to us. Let us give ourselves to God. And let's let our heart be of such that it will touch the head, our husband, in such a great way that it will affect him so that we can control him because of the love and concern that we've got for him and his ideas and his way of life. What a wonderful world this would be if mothers was like that. Years ago, a little farm, a little home, daddy and the children, a little acreage, and mom was concerned about daddy's ideas and daddy's ambitions and daddy's ways and daddy's vision. And that's all she lived for. Why? Because daddy was the breadwinner. She had to be concerned. There was no bread on the table if daddy's ideas didn't work. There was no bread on the table. There was no home built because daddy had to build it. The old loggers had to go out and build it. There was no fields plowed. So mom was concerned about him. She would mend his socks, and she would fix his clothes, and she would see that he had a coat when it was cold, and she would see that everything was just right for dad, always, because he was her heart. And as a consequence of that, dad loved mom, because without mom, there'd be no need to plow a field. Without mom, there'd be no need to build a house. Without mom, there'd be no children to prepare a meal for. Without mom, there was no home. And dad had no vision. So dad loved mom. And the children loved daddy and mother. Because without daddy and mother, there would be no children. So they loved daddy and mother. And without one or the other, there was heartaches and sorrows. Because they didn't have many neighbors. Didn't have too many people to console them. And the loss of mom was really something. The loss of dad and death was really something. Because there was not much consolation. They couldn't take dope and run off to parties and watch television, listen at the radios and go to the horse races and drown it out with the drink and whiskey of the world. They meant something to one another because that was their very life. I made the statement today, and I believe that I'm right in it. It's like dogs, like people. God refers to some of them as the Gentiles. Somebody will have a dog on the campground. Never see him. A week go by, they never notice the dog. Never throw him a biscuit. Never bother with him. He's in everybody's yard, in everybody's garbage can, in everybody's way. Until somebody goes to get rid of the dog and somebody has a fit. And you can't bother my dog. Their sons and daughters are the same way. They don't know where they're at or where they've been or what they're doing or when they're coming home. But if you ever say anything to one of them, say, you can't jump on my son. I love my son. I love my daughter. I love my relatives, my friends, my daddy, my mother. You don't love them. The Bible said if you love them, you correct them. You don't care for the dog. You just don't like the idea because somebody is doing something to try to keep the dog out of other people's yards and from messing up things that belong to other people. It's just an evil spirit that weaves itself around people that don't care for others. But in the days gone by, they loved their animals. They took care of them, even the old dog. They loved the old dog because he helped make a living, run a rabbit, tree a squirrel, catch a coon. They had a feeling for the old dog, had a feeling for the animals, the old mule that plowed the field, took care of him. They had a feeling for one another. In our day, nobody cares for anybody. Nobody has any feelings for anybody. Mama don't care for daddy, and daddy don't care for mama, and children don't care for either one of them. It's a sad day, folks. Lust don't be like that at Bethlehem. Lust don't be like that at Bethlehem. That's what God calls the hypocrite. Lust be real, genuine. If you don't love somebody, don't tell them you love them. If you don't love one of the fellows here, one of the brothers of the brotherhood, don't tell them you love them. Don't be a liar. If you don't love the sisters, don't be a liar. Don't tell them you love them and then go talk about them to their back, tear them all to pieces and break them down. Don't talk about them unless you can talk constructive or with some concern or in some way to help them. If you can't talk no other way, don't talk at all. Or that way, don't talk at all. Let's don't be hypocritical. If you don't want to come to church for the good of the gospel, to hear the word of the Lord, don't come to church. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't make everybody miserable. If your heart's not at church and you don't have any desire in it, then there's no need of you coming. You're not going to get anything out of it anyway. You're just going to be a spot and blemish that'll cause everybody else trouble. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, that's all we ever hear, the same old thing. We come to church, we hear the same old thing. The same old thing. All we ever hear is the Almighty God talking, the same old thing. But when you watch television, read the newspaper and the books, hear somebody sitting around gossiping or talking to somebody on the job or on the corner, what about that? To me, that's the same old thing. The same old thing. Somebody's mouth running. Somebody's saying something they don't have any business saying. Tongue like a serpent, going in and out all the time. Crooked paths, a generation of vipers, Jesus said. That's the same old thing. But whether you hear the president or the governor or whatever, that's just a man. But when you come to the house of God, it's not the same old thing. It's the Almighty God speaking every time you come to church when the anointing comes or the minister speaks from his heart. It's the Almighty God speaking, and he's speaking about something brand new because everything is new with God. Out of the heart, he brings forth new treasures. New treasures. New treasures. All right, his mercy is new every service, every day. God's mercies are brand new. Let's sing a little chorus together. Let's be spiritual. If you're not praying, then pray. If you're not seeking God, seek God. Meditate in the laws of God day and night. Don't ever stop. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I see the light, and now I am happy all the day. Can you sing it again? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Sing it again. Oh, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.